Well, we've been discovering that God really wants to bless His people. As a matter of fact, He really wants to bless you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and verse 22, that it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And that is that those who are blessed by God are wealthy, and that we are indeed rich. And the Bible says there that He adds no sorrow with Him. And God really wants to bless you individually. He really wants to bless us as a church family. But we've been discovering that some of the blessings of God have a door attached to them. And that we have to step through that door in order to be able to enjoy and receive the fullness of His blessings. And that is, I said to you last Sunday morning, it's kind of like the material blessings that we have. Some of them have doors attached to them. I said to you that the house I live in order to really enjoy the fullness of that blessing, that I have to walk through the door. Technically, I could climb through the window, but practically, it wouldn't work out that well. And so I walk through the door. The car that I drive is a blessing, but in order to really enjoy the fullness of that blessing, that I have to go through the door and sit in the automobile to get where it is that I need to go or that I want to go enjoy the full blessing of that automobile. Even so it is with many blessings in our life. God wants to bless you, but in order to receive the fullness of those blessings, you have to step through the door. Many of you and most of you were here last Sunday morning when I said to you the very first door into the blessings of God is what I call the door of salvation. And that is, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 10, Jesus said, I am the door. And by me, if any man will, that any man can be saved and go in and out and find pasture. That is the picture of sheep that are enjoying the blessings of the pasture. And the reason why is because they have a shepherd, and the shepherd is the door. He's the way out of the sheepfold of bondage, and He's the way into the sheepfold of salvation. We spent some time talking about that last Sunday morning, and that is, listen to me now, while it's true that everyone is blessed to a certain extent, those who are really enjoying the blessings of God are those who have stepped through the door of salvation. That's the very first door you have to step through if you're going to enjoy the fullness of God's blessings in your life. I said to those of you that were here on Sunday evening that there's a second door, and that is that once that you've been saved, there's the door of supplication. And the word supplication is a word that the Bible uses to describe our prayer life. It's describing those who realize that they have a need in their life, and they come to God, and they begin to pray about those areas of their need. And that is, that's one of the doors. That is one of the ways that you and I can enter into and experience the fullness of God's blessings in our life is when we step through the door of supplication. That is, when God's people who've stepped through the door of salvation begin to pray. Listen, one of the reasons why you have not, that is, the writer of James would say, is because you ask not. Jesus said, ask. Ask in my name and you'll receive that your joy might be full. And so many of the blessings that you and I can receive in this life are directly connected to our prayer life. And that is, there are many ways that God wants to bless you. He wants to have fellowship with you. But if you won't walk with Him in prayer, that fellowship is going to be hindered. God wants to give you victory over the enemy, but there's a direct connection between protection from the enemy and our prayer life. God wants to use you to have a great impact on the lives of others, but the way that He uses you is by praying for them in intercessory prayer. God wants to bless you in so many ways. Listen, God wants to give revival to our nation. But listen, the only way there's ever going to be spiritual awakening in our country is when those who know the Lord will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. And God said, I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There are many blessings that we'll miss out on if we don't step through this door and get serious about our prayer life. I preached that to you last Sunday night. I preached on it again this past Wednesday night, just dealing with this door that is the door of supplication. And so there's a third door that I want to preach to you about a little while today, and it is simply the door of obedience. Listen, if you're saved, God wants to bless you, and one of the doors that He's given you through which you can step so that you can enjoy those blessings is indeed the door of obedience. Listen, there are some blessings of life that everyone experiences regardless of their spiritual condition. Jesus said that He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. So there are many blessings that everyone experiences, but while that is true, there are some specific blessings that only the obedient believer will experience. That is, if you've stepped through the door of salvation, and if you walk with God in prayer and supplication, then you are being set up to live a life of obedience. And as you, child of God, obey God, you can step into the blessings that God has for your life. Now I'm going to remind you that obedience to God's commands and directions is not what saves us, except the fact that indeed the Bible couches salvation at times in terms of obedience to the gospel. Those who've obeyed the gospel, that is, the Spirit of God has revealed to them they're lost. They've heard the command from our Lord to repent and to believe the gospel, and they obeyed His command. They repented and believed the gospel, and God saved them. But a life of obedience, our life of obedience, is not what saves us. It is His life of obedience all the way to the cross that is our salvation. We simply obey the call of the gospel to repent and believe. But now once you're saved, now that you are saved, God has called you to a life of obedience to Him. That is, that's your life now. It is a life of obedience to Him. And if you'll step through those doors of obedience that God sets before you, on the other side of that door is indeed the divine blessings for your life. Let me just speak to you for that a little while. And that is, I want to break this down, this idea of obedience, in several different ways. First of all, by focusing for a while this morning on what I would call the demand for obedience. And that is that God demands His people to obey Him. He demands us to. You say, Pastor, that just doesn't seem right. I mean, why would God demand us to obey Him? And here's the simple answer. And that is so that He can bless us. God wants to bless you. But listen to me now, the way that He has chosen to bless you is as you obey Him. You're not going to be blessed if you do not obey. Now we understand this because good parenting has this same demand and requirement for their children. And that is that there are some things that you can do and there are some things that you cannot do in this house. And all the parents said, you should be saying amen right about now. That is, you ought to have some things that your kids can do, and you ought to have some things that your kids can't do. And listen to me now, if they do the things they can do, they will be blessed. Amen. But listen to me now, if they do the things that they're not supposed to do, or don't do the things that they're supposed to do, then listen to me now, they are not going to be blessed. But you know what they're going to be? They're going to be chastised, aren't they? They're going to be punished. They're going to be disciplined in some sort of way. And do you know the same is true with God? And that is that God wants to bless His children. And for that reason, God has laid out some commands and He's laid out some demands. He's saying that there are some things that you can do and there are some things that you can't do. And somebody said, well, I don't understand why God would not let me do what I want to do, because listen to me now, like a little child, if you got to do whatever you wanted to do, it would be the worst thing that would happen to you. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen in your life is for you to get your way. Amen. I mean, it's like a little child that decides it's fun to play in the road. Amen. But mom and dad says you cannot play in the road. If you play in the road, if you go out towards the road, you are going to be in trouble. And so they try it. And they go out towards the road. And dad says, get away from that road. And little Johnny turns around and looks back. And dad says, I said, get away from that road. And little Johnny is thinking, why would dad tell me not to get near the road? I mean, look at all that road is right there. And I can play out there on the road. It'll be so much fun playing on the road. Why would he be so restrictive as to tell me something like that? And little Johnny gets out closer to the road. It's obvious that he's not turning around. And dad goes out there and he picks him up away from the road and he disciplines him in an appropriate manner so that he knows you cannot go back out near that road again. That is something you cannot do. Now we know why dads would do that. The reason why dads demand that their children not go out and play in the road is because the roads can be places that are dangerous and a little child could get hurt or ran over out there on the road. And so a dad will say, you cannot play on the road. Listen to me now, because he wants his child to be blessed. And even so it is with God. God wants to bless you. And in order to bless you, God has said there's some things you got to stay away from because that'll harm you and won't bless you. And there are some things that you've got to be involved in because that'll bring blessing to your life. And so God sets these rules and guidelines and He lays them out for us right here in His book, in His Word. And He does that for our good. Everything that God wills for us is always for our good and His glory. And so he lays these out. So listen to me now. If you want to be blessed, you've got to step through the door of obedience. You've got to say, you know what? If God says that's wrong, then I'm not going to do it. And if God says that this is right, then that's what I am going to do. I am going to obey Him so that He can bless me. Now, God has made that clear all the way back to the Old Testament. That is, when God called out the children of Israel to be His people, His special people among all of the nations, then He gave them some wonderful promises of blessing. And He tied them to their obedience. I want you to see a few of those passages as we think about God's demand for obedience. Notice, for example, in the book of Exodus, if you would. All the way back into the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, in chapter number 23, I'm going to read some verses to you, and I want you to pick out the connection between obedience and blessing. Here's what he says, Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 20. It says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." In other words, God is saying, I'm sending an angel to protect you and bring you into the land that I want to bless you with, Israel. I've got a land for you. And I'm going to send an angel to bring you in that land. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I will cut them off. In other words, God is saying, here's what will happen. That is, I'm sending an angel to lead you and guide you and protect you. And if you will obey the voice of the angel that I'm going to send to you, if you'll obey him, then you will be able to go into the land that I promised to you and get victory over the enemies that are going to be against you. And I will bless you with the blessings that I promised all the way back to Abraham if you will obey. We see this connection again in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, listen to verses 39 and 40. Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day." Moses said that it may go well with thee. If you want it to go well with ye, then you got to keep His commandments, "and thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever and ever." In other words, here's what Moses is saying. Listen, God has given us His commands, and if you want to live long as a nation, if you want to live well as a nation, then listen to me now. Those blessings are directly connected to your obedience to what God has revealed. In chapter number 5 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 27, we find Moses bringing this up again. He says, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it," the Bible says. "And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always," listen, "that it may be well with them and with their children forever." Listen, if you want it to be well with you, God says to the Israelites in the Old Testament, if you want it to be well with you and your children, then you better obey what it is that I am telling you. He keeps emphasizing this same theme in chapter number 7 of the book of Deuteronomy as Moses continues to teach this new generation of Israelites. In chapter 7 and verse number 11, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And listen, he'll love thee and bless thee." He'll bless you and multiply thee. "He also will also bless the fruit of thy womb, your children, and the fruit of thy land, the corn, the wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of the sheep in the land which he sware unto the fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among cattle." God is just saying to him, "I'll bless you. I'll bless you and I'll bless your family. I'll bless your crops. I'll bless your land. I will bless you if you will obey me." You see the tie. You see it again in chapter number 11 of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses keeps emphasizing this fact to the Israelites. in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy, in verse number 26. Behold, I set before thee this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after the gods which you have not known. God is saying to them, you've got a choice. You can be blessed or cursed, one or the other. If you want to be blessed, obey me. If you want to be cursed, then just go ahead and turn your own way and worship the gods of the Canaanites, the idols in the land, and you will be cursed. We see it again in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Listen to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 1, I'm trying to give you a good taste in the Old Testament of what God said about obeying Him, and that if you will be blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all of His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Listen to the blessings. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now listen, that's a lot of blessing right there. You're blessed when you go in, and you're blessed when you go out. He says, listen, you'll be blessed. He said, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall not come out against thee one way and flee before thee. They shall come out one way and flee before thee seven. They'll come one way and they'll go seven ways because they're fleeing from you. That is, because you are defeating them. Verse number 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Listen, this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 28, is all about the wonderful blessings of God promised to Israel if Israel will obey Him. Joshua taught this same principle in Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 1 that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant. And here's what God said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Joshua, I'm going to give you the victory. I'm going to give you the land. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong. Be of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and listen to this, that thou mayest do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, I want you to be victorious and prosper in every direction you go. But here's the key. Obey the law that I gave to Moses. He says in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. And that is, I not only want you to know what I revealed to Moses, but I want you to do it. I want you to observe it. I want you to do it. And he said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, you want to be prosperous and successful, then obey me. Obey me. Now this didn't change with time. And that is that many years later, when Isaiah was prophesying to the people of God, to the Israelites, here's what he said, and this is a wonderful verse. I want you to hear it. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's talking to Israel. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be wool. If you'll come to me, God is saying, I will forgive you. And then he said this, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you'll obey me, if you sin, come to me and I'll forgive you. I will. And if you will be willing and obedient, if you'll surrender your will to mine and obey me, then you will enjoy the goodness of the land. You will be blessed. And I'm reading all of these passages so you'll know that God demanded obedience. And that God's motivation for demanding obedience is so that His people Israel would be blessed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we not only find that to be true in the Old Testament, but in the New as well. Let me read you a couple of verses from the New Testament so you can see this demand for obedience. For example, in Luke 11, Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 27. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that gave that thou hast sucked," talking about Mary. "But he said, yea, rather blessed are they," listen to this, "blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." You want to be blessed? Then hear this book and obey it. But James tells us that, James 1 verse 25. Man, I love this verse. Listen to this. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that is the word of God that will set you free, "whoever looks into it like you look into a mirror, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What man's going to be blessed in his deed? The man who looks into the perfect law of liberty, into the Word of God, and continues looking into it, and does what it is that he sees. He uses the Word of God to be, he pictures it like a mirror. And that is, it's like when you get up in the morning and you go to the mirror and you look in the mirror. And you may look in the mirror, you may take a quick glance in the mirror on your way through the restroom. You just take a quick glance and keep going. You don't stop and you don't look and you don't do anything about it. And listen, if you do that, then probably when you get ready to go out and do whatever it is that you need to do that day, go to work, go to the market, whatever you do, somebody's probably going to look at you rather strange because of the way that you look. Some of you that have hair, I mean, you'll have this bedhead, right? I mean, you have this look going on when you get up. And you go out looking like that. And you may have this scraggly look on your face, guys. And you got stuff hanging out of your teeth. You didn't brush your teeth or anything, right? And some of you ladies, you know, usually you know, when you look in the mirror, you say, "Well, I need to put a little of this on here and a little of that on there." I don't know what all that stuff is, but when you come out after you put it on, it doesn't look too bad. But if you just run by the mirror and don't pay any attention to it, you may walk right out without putting that stuff on, whatever it is. But listen, if you'll stop, look in the mirror, and then do something about it. Comb that hair, brush those teeth, put that stuff on. Then you'll be blessed. People won't stare at you. They won't laugh at you. Well, the Bible is telling us here, and everybody else will be blessed. But the Bible is telling us here, listen, if you really want to be blessed, then you need to look into the Word of God like that. That is, no quick glance will do. And I want to look into this book, and I want to stay in this book and continue looking in this book. I mean, just Sunday morning's not going to do. I need to get my Bible out and study for myself. I need to read it and study it and spend some time in the Word of God. Because, listen, the Word of God reveals some things to me that I need to do something about, like a mirror. There are areas of my life that I got to get cleaned up. There's things that I'm doing in my life I got to stop doing. There's things that I ought to be doing that I read about in the Bible that I got to start doing because I haven't been doing them. And that is, that's called obedience to the Word of God. And if you'll do that, you will be blessed. That's what the Bible is. That's what James is telling us here. There's a demand for obedience that is found throughout the Old and New Testaments. And that is, God wants you to obey Him. He demands for you to obey Him. And the reason why that He wants you to obey Him is so that you can be blessed. Amen. So there is the demand for obedience, but I want to speak to you about some demonstrations of obedience that are also found in the Bible. And that is that this idea of obeying God is not something that is unattainable. You say, Pastor, man, I'm just a sinner and I can't do that. Listen to me now, you can be forgiven of your sins and you as a forgiven sinner can walk in the direction of obedience. Now I realize that if you're anything like your pastor is, that you can't be talking about perfection. The only one who perfectly obeyed was our Savior. And it is His perfect obedience that is the basis for and the reason for our salvation. So I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about direction. And that is that, listen, if you're saved, then the direction of your life, even though you don't do it perfectly, the direction of your life needs to be a life of obedience. That is, before you got saved, your life was one of disobedience. But now that you're saved, you ought to be living a life that is headed in the direction of obedience to God. And we have examples of that in the Bible. Matter of fact, we have many examples of those who obeyed God and as a result were blessed. Let me just mention a few of them. I could spend a series of messages until Christmas and after doing this, but let me just mention a few of them. And that is some of the demonstration of obedience. One of the first ones that I think about is God's chosen builder, and that is the man named Noah. Remember Noah? Remember how the wickedness of man got so great that God decided that He was going to destroy all of humanity. He was going to destroy them. And He was going to send a flood to destroy humanity. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 6 that there was one man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it was that man named Noah. Remember him? And Noah had those three sons and their wives. And there were seven adults. And God began to speak to Noah. And God said, Noah, listen, the wickedness of man has come up before me. And my flesh and my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that the judgment of God was coming. And He said, Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and I want you to build this thing that is called an ark. Noah has never seen an ark. Now listen to me now. Noah, no doubt, because he was married, must have been a man who was an avid shopper. That is, his wife probably said, Noah, now I'm getting ready to go to the store. Why don't you want to run along with me? She probably texted him and said, Noah, I'm coming home from work and I'm going to the store. You want to meet me there? That sounds like something my wife would do. You want to meet me there? And if I can, I will. I'll meet her there and I'll walk behind a little cart and she'll get stuff and put it in it and go through the store with her and she buys what she needs to buy. And every once in a while, I'll see something and throw it in there too. But nevertheless, we'll go shopping. No doubt Noah had been shopping. But every store he had gone to, none of them had an ark. He'd never seen an ark. Listen, I would just guess probably he went to the antique places and thought, if there's ever been an ark made, surely they've got it in the antique places, right? And probably his wife took him there and said, don't you like that? And look at that over there. And Noah said, yeah, yeah, okay. But never in any of those places did he ever see an ark. Nobody has ever built an ark. It has never been. And God comes along and says, Noah, I want you to build this ark. I want you to build this boat. And then God gives him the blueprint for that, not literally, but He tells him verbally how it is that this boat is to be built, how big it's supposed to be, and how it's supposed to be built, and what it's supposed to be built out of. And God gives him all the details about how to build this great big boat. And do you know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 22? Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, so did Noah, according to all that God commanded. He just obeyed God. He had never seen an ark. He had never built an ark. He probably wasn't even sure how an ark's supposed to work. He had never seen a flood. And yet he just obeyed what God said. It probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to him. He probably didn't have it all figured out, how this was going to work. But God said, this is what I want, and he just obeyed God. And you all know the great blessing that came out of Noah's obedience. That is, that he and his family was saved from the flood, and humanity was saved from complete destruction, as well as animal life as well. The blessing that was found in that ark is because one man decided he's going to obey what God said to do. There is indeed God's chosen builder who just obeyed God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is God's chosen father. That is, God chose a man to be the father of his nation Israel. And that man's name was Abraham. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the things that Abraham learned, and that is that there is a distinct connection between obedience and blessing. One day, God came to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your home, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to start going to a land that I'll tell you of whenever you get there. And so Noah came home, and he said, honey, listen, God spoke to me today, and he told me that we're going to sell out everything we have, we're going to pack it all up, and we're going to travel. And she said, where are we going? I do not know. We'll know when we get there. And she said, what kind of house are we going to build? And he said, we're not going to live in a house, we're going to live in a tent. And all the women said, I didn't think so. Yeah. You say, but that, that was Abraham's wife, right? I mean, that was different. No, she was a real woman just like you ladies are. And I have a feeling that she took pride in her home. And her honey comes home and says, selling out, going to start traveling, going to live in tents. And I don't know for sure where it's at, but there's a land that God has for us. And do you know that Abraham, and do you know that Sarah, do you know that they obeyed God? That was the start of his obedience. And listen, while that was the start of his obedience, the seriousness of his obedience is revealed to us many years later in Genesis 22. Many years later when God said, Abraham, now listen, you've obeyed me up to this point. You really have. But he said, I want you to do something now that reveals how serious you are about obeying me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your only son, your son Isaac. That is the promised son. The one that I promised through whom that this great nation would come. Every promise that God gave to Abraham rested in his son Isaac. As a matter of fact, God didn't even give him his son Isaac until Abraham was too old to have children and his wife. And God miraculously allowed them to conceive, and this promised child came, and everything about the promises of God and the blessings of God hinged on him. And here's what he said, I want you to take this son, and I want you to go to a mountain called Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer your son up as a sacrifice to me on that mountain. Now think about it for a moment. If God told you to offer your child as a sacrifice, you say God wouldn't say that. He did. He said exactly that. And do you know what Abraham did? He got his son. He got the wood to build an altar. He got the fire. And he and the servants started towards Mount Moriah. There came a point when he told the servants to stay back that he and his son alone would travel the rest of the way. And there was that son carrying the wood on the way up to Mount Moriah. And when they got up to the top of the mountain, Abraham built an altar out of that wood. And ladies and gentlemen, he laid his son on that altar. He had a knife in his hand and he was going to kill his son. He was on the verge of ending the life of his son. And you know the reason why? Because he was obeying what God said. And about the time that he was going to bring that knife down into the body of his son, God spoke to him again. And when God spoke to him, he said to him, Abraham, I know now that you are serious about obedience to me. God said there's a ram caught in the thickest. Turn around and look and offer that in the place of your son. A beautiful picture of Christ dying for us on the cross when that ram took the place of his son on that altar and died in his place. We'd have never had that picture if it hadn't have been for the obedience of Abraham. Listen to what God said to him. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand of this which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because, listen to this phrase, thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham, you obeyed me, and for that reason I will fulfill every promise that I've made in Isaac, and that is, I'm going to bless you. Your nation is going to become like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the sea. And listen, all of the nations, all nations are going to be blessed because of you, and that includes me and you. Because through this nation, our Savior came. Well, I hope you're starting to see the wonderful blessings that flow out of Abraham's obedience to God. He stepped through the door of obedience, and the blessings are still flowing. They haven't stopped. Every time somebody comes to Christ, every time another person turns to Him, another blessing that flows out of Abraham's obedience to God. Through him, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And Paul clears that up in the book of Galatians. The blessing that he's talking about is the blessing of being made right with God through faith in Christ. So God's chosen builder, Noah, he just obeyed God, stepped through the door of obedience, and man, God saved humanity from the flood. What a blessing. Abraham, God's chosen father of the nation Israel, obeyed God. And all the nations are still being blessed as a result of that. I think about God's chosen leader, Joshua. And that is, Joshua was a real man of God. And a faithful man of that. Do you know that Joshua was the kind of guy that he would obey God even if nobody else did? It made no difference. I remember reading about Kadesh Barnea and how that the Israelites were at Kadesh Barnea and Joshua and Caleb and 10 other men went into the land to spy out the land. Remember that? And man, this guy Joshua said, listen, God said He'll bless us with the land. Let's go take the land. Let's obey God. And everybody else said no. The Israelites took a vote and they voted, ladies and gentlemen, all of them voted against going in the land. But this guy Joshua, he was ready. He was always ready to obey God, to step through that door of obedience. I love Joshua. In Joshua chapter number 11, verse number 15, listen to this. As the Lord commanded Moses, His servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Listen to that. Joshua didn't leave anything undone of everything that God commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valleys and the plains and the mountains of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, even to Baghdad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them, and Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Joshua did everything that God said. And do you know that as a result of his obedience, the land of Israel was conquered and the 12 tribes had their possessions. They received the land of Canaan because one man, was willing to obey God and lead the Israelites in the direction of obedience. I think about God's chosen parents. You say, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Mary and her husband Joseph. Remember them? God chose them out of everybody else. God chose them to be the ones that would bring the Christ into the world. Remember the angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to conceive. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you're going to have this child. She says, but how can I have a child? I'm not in a relationship with a man. The Holy Spirit will cause you to conceive, will come upon you and overshadow you, and you'll conceive. And she did. She became pregnant. And listen to me now. Her espoused husband, Joseph, when he found out that she was expecting, ladies and gentlemen, he himself was getting ready to divorce her. And he would have had a right to do that under the Old Testament law. That is, before their marriage was finally consummated, she was found to be unfaithful to him, and he would have the right to divorce her under the Old Testament law for that reason. That's what he was going to do, because he figured that he knew that the child was not his, and so she had been unfaithful to him. And so the Bible says in the book of Matthew in chapter number 1, the Bible tells us there that an angel appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, and I'm going to paraphrase, listen, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The one conceived on the inside of her is the promised Christ and the Messiah. And so here's what you need to do. Now listen to this. Here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and marry Mary. Marry her. She hadn't been unfaithful. That is, she is conceived supernaturally, the very Son of God in her womb. And do you know what the Bible says at the end of Matthew 1? Do you know what Joseph did? He did exactly as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do, and he married Mary. A little bit later on, they're still living in Bethlehem. Jesus is a little bit older now. He's not a little baby, but probably a small toddler. And as they're there, the wise men come, and the Bible says these wise men stop off in Jerusalem wanting to know where the King of the Jews is at. And of course, Herod knew, because he had been talking to some of the Jewish leaders, that it was prophesied that he'd be born in Bethlehem. You see, these wise men had seen his star from the east, and they come looking for him. And as they're looking for him, Herod finds out that it's prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. And he tells these wise men, when you find the child, why don't you come back, be sure and send word, come back and tell me who he is and where he is, so that I can also come and worship him. But like most politicians, he was flat out lying. He wasn't going to come and worship him. He was going to come and kill him. Because he wanted no competition and did not want the Jews to get stirred up as though there was another king among them. And listen to me now, while they were there, the Bible says that while those wise men were worshiping him, God spoke to them and said, we want you to go another way. And they did. They didn't go back to Jerusalem. They didn't tell Herod anything about who Jesus was and where he was. And Herod found out about it. He was angry. And he decided that he was going to send his soldiers to kill all the babies down there in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. So he made sure that he got him according to the time that the wise men had said that they had seen that star. And do you know that God spoke to that man, Joseph? And he said to him in a vision, a dream that he gave him, to take the child and the mother and to escape down into Egypt. I want you to leave home. I want you to leave Bethlehem. I want you to leave Israel. And I want you to travel. And I want you to go down into Egypt and stay there until I tell you to come back. And ladies and gentlemen, he obeyed what God said. He just got up and left everything and left where he was at and went to a strange country that he'd never been in. And listen, traveled there with the baby Jesus. And as a result, Jesus was protected from that slaughter in Bethlehem. And listen, at the very moment that this Herod had died, the Bible says an angel spoke to him again and said, it's all right now, you can go back into the land. And he traveled back into the land of Israel and ended back in Nazareth, in his hometown, in Galilee. And there Jesus was raised in Nazareth. God directed him there. He obeyed God. And that's why Jesus was raised in Nazareth, which also fulfilled the scriptures as well. I'm just trying to get you to see that this man, Joseph, stands out as a man who obeyed God. And all the wonderful blessing that came from his obedience, the protection of the little baby, the Lord Jesus. I think about God's chosen apostles and how they obeyed God. Do you know that one day Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he saw a couple of them? There they are, the sons of thunder, James and John. Sitting there in their nets, with their nets in their boat. And you know what Jesus said? I want you to come and follow me. And do you know they obeyed him immediately? They left their boat and their nets and their dad in the boat and they began to follow Jesus. Do you know that Peter and Andrew, the other two sets of brothers, that Jesus spoke to them and they abandoned their fishing business and just obeyed God? And what a wonderful blessing that you and I are still reaping today as we read through the Word of God because these men were willing to obey God. I love the book of Acts. When you read through the book of Acts, you'll find these same men, Peter and James and John. You'll see them after the day of Pentecost preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And the Jewish leaders are all stirred up and they're angry and they're mad. And they're coming to them and saying and arresting them and putting them in jail. And then they stand before the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. That is the leading officials in the Jewish culture. They're standing before them and they said, what right do you have to do this? That is this idea of healing a lame man in chapter number 3 and preaching about the resurrection. And they told them, you cannot do this. We're demanding that you stop. And do you know what Peter said? He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Even though their life was on the line, even though they may lose everything they have, even though, ladies and gentlemen, the officials, the leaders of the day were turning against them, they would still rather obey God. And they did. And they would not stop. Oh, there's so many demonstrations of obedience throughout the Scripture. Those who step through the door of obedience and experience the blessing of God. You know, the same is true in our lives. As I preach through this idea of obedience, I'm going to get to a point where we're going to take a look at some practical steps of what it means of how to obey God. But I just want to say to you in closing, God has set a door in front of you. That is, God has revealed to you truth about what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what you ought to do and what you shouldn't do. It's like you set a door in front of you. And you can either walk through the door of obedience and be blessed or not and continue the struggle. Will you go through the door? What's God saying to you? Will you listen to Him? Will you obey Him? God demands it. And we have all kinds of demonstrations in the Bible about those who simply obeyed God and the blessings that flowed from their obedience. But what about us? Let's pray. Father, we recognize our desperate need for your direction and your help in this area of our life of obedience. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would work His work in the hearts of those that are in this room. That, God, we might realize, Father, why it's so important to hear what you have to say and to follow you and obey you. Because you want to bless us. God, I pray that you would operate in such a way that we'd be helped in this moment. Pray for those who are living lives that are disobedient to you and to your will for their life, that this might be a time of repentance and might be a time, Father, of turning around and going through that door of obedience. Would you help us in this moment? Pray for those that are lost, that have never been saved, that have never turned to Christ, that they might hear the call of the gospel, the working of the Spirit in their hearts, and that they might repent, turn to Christ, God, this very day. They might be blessed with the greatest blessing of it all, the blessing of salvation. We'll give you the praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together.